financial strategies you won't hear anywhere else for your house, your mortgage, and your future. Always accurate and occasionally entertaining, here's your host, Martin Andelman from MandelmanMatters.com.
Hi, this is Martin Andelman from Andelman Matters. And on the podcast that you're about to hear, my guest is Professor David W. Johnson. He's a PhD and an associate professor of finance at the University of Wisconsin, Superior, and he has a doctorate in finance from the University of Tennessee. Now, the reason this podcast was recorded like 5 years ago now, but it's every bit as important and valid as it was then. So I wanted to bring it back onto the new MandelmanMatters.com blog so you'd have a chance to hear it. Now, here's what it's about. Dr. Johnson published a paper along with a peer of his titled Retirement Trends, Current Monetary Policy, and the Reverse Mortgage Market. And it appeared in the Journal of Financial Planning back in 2017. Now, listen, this guy came to this as an academic. He came to the subject not with any agenda or because he was being paid to do it, but because his mother was, you know, getting older and having some financial difficulties, and he decided to research the reverse mortgage, both as an academic, an expert in finance, and frankly, as a consumer. And what he found was amazing, and he set the record straight, because the way the media talks about HECMs and reverse mortgages is just so rarely the way it should be. I mean, they get their facts wrong at times, they don't really understand things, and I think a lot of the reason for that, believe it or not, is that a lot of these writers in mainstream media are younger, and I don't think they fully understand retirement and getting older and the realities of that. So Dr. Johnson did an extensive study, published a paper in the Journal of Financial Planning, and he's my guest on the podcast you're about to hear. I really hope you find it interesting, and I know you'll find it valuable. Until then, until the next time, this is Martin Andelman from Andelman Matters, and this, what you're about to hear, is a Andelman Matters podcast.
Hi, this is Martin Andelman from Andelman Matters, and this is a Andelman Matters podcast. My guest today is Dr. David Johnson. He's an associate professor of finance in the business and economics department at the University of Wisconsin. He earned his doctorate in finance at the University of Tennessee. And his primary area of focus in terms of research and publishing is the reverse mortgage. I've come to the conclusion that the reverse mortgage is the most misunderstood and poorly described financial product ever invented. And I know why so many people think the way they do about reverse mortgages. It's the way the product's been marketed by the industry. If you're desperate for money, call this 800 number. It sounds like the place where older people can hawk their house. It's ridiculous because the truth is, whether you need money or not has very little to do with whether you should consider a reverse mortgage. The negative press that continues to go on and on about pitfalls and nightmares, it's just wrong, as in factually incorrect. I don't care whether we're talking about the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNBC, Forbes magazine, they have their facts wrong. It's shocking. Because when we talk about reverse mortgages, we're not talking about some weight loss plan. We're talking about a program made possible by the United States Congress, regulated by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and insured by the FHA. Doesn't sound like any sort of scam, does it? We'll also be talking with Dr. Zamira Simpkins, an assistant professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin. She earned her doctorate in economics at American University. Dr. Simpkins has also been researching reverse mortgages, and the two published a paper last year titled Retirement Trends, Current Monetary Policy, and the Reverse Mortgage Market. Their paper was considered groundbreaking in many ways. It appeared in the Journal of Financial Planning, and it looked at the reverse mortgage as a financial planning tool, something that almost any retiree or financial planner might use for any number of reasons. But after I read their paper, I wanted to invite them to be guests on the Mandelman Matters podcast so you could hear what their views were about the reverse mortgage. Now, if you've been reading any of the articles I've been writing on reverse mortgages lately, you know that I also have a very different view of the reverse mortgage. I've been researching reverse mortgages for over a year now. I've talked with hundreds of seniors from all over the country, people from the mortgage industry, even the reverse mortgage industry, and very few people in this country have come to appreciate and understand what a reverse mortgage really is, and how you can use it. Because you can use a reverse mortgage for all sorts of things. You can use it to supplement your income during retirement, but you can also use it to buy another house. And if you switch from a traditional mortgage to a reverse mortgage, you protect your house from foreclosure, because if something happens and you can't make the payments, you don't have to. And if you don't need the money, you don't have to borrow it. You can open it as a line of credit, just in case. And that line of credit grows every year, even if the value of your house doesn't. Dr. Johnson's going to explain exactly how that works, because not only has he researched the reverse mortgage as an academic, but he even helped his parents get a reverse mortgage for their home. It doesn't mean that you can't leave the house to the kids. It doesn't mean that you're going to strip all the equity out of the house. It doesn't mean any of those things. It all depends on how you use it. A reverse mortgage is just a mortgage that has the most flexible repayment terms imaginable. Look, I've become so impressed with what reverse mortgages are all about that I've decided to launch reversemortgageintelligence.com. It'll be up in a couple of weeks, and it will be the place for intelligent discussions, objective analysis, and creative applications for reverse mortgages. My plan is to straighten out all the misinformation that's been published about reverse mortgages and make it harder for any of that stuff to go on in the future. But we don't have to wait for reversemortgageintelligence.com. We're going to straighten some things out right here with Dr. Johnson and Dr. Simpkins. With all the misinformation out there about reverse mortgages, Dr. Johnson explains it so that anyone can understand it. I really think you're going to like this. I sure did. Let's kick it off with Dr. David Johnson, Professor of Finance at the University of Wisconsin, on this A Mandelman Matters podcast. I'm here with my guest, Professor David Johnson. He's an Associate Professor of Finance at the University of Wisconsin. David, are you with me?
I sure am.
That's perfect. I'm glad you're here. We're talking about retirement and reverse mortgages because of an article that you wrote with Samira Simpkins, Professor Simpkins.
That's correct.
Why did you decide to do it? What was the impetus for this?
Well, I learned a little bit about reverse mortgages years and years ago when I was doing my dissertation. They were just kind of coming up, but nobody really knew about them. When my parents were kind of getting that age where they need a little bit of assistance, I started looking into it a little bit deeper and did a little bit of research and became really interested in it. And what I found out was that there's just so much misinformation out there about how they work, and it just seemed to continue to snowball and get worse and worse. So, you know, over the years, I wrote quite a few articles in, you know, trade publications, local newspapers, senior newspapers, that sort of thing. So when I got back into academics, that's kind of where my interest lies. I thought, you know, I'd really like to do some things where I can get correct information out there about reverse mortgages. And, you know, if you go back a few years, there was virtually nothing from academics on reverse mortgages. And we're starting to get more and more. But even now, some of those articles aren't always even 100% accurate. So I thought, well, all right, let's see if we can come up with an area that would be of interest to, well, the public in general, and financial planners was kind of the focus of this. So there's a really big need for current retirees and future retirees to start thinking about what they're going to do, because we're all living a lot longer than we anticipate. People generally don't plan to live as long as they do, and they start to run through their assets. So we just took a look at that, and we saw it as kind of another tool in the financial retirement planning chest that people need to learn about so that they can access if it makes sense to them. And if not, well, that's fine too. But let's get the correct information out there so they can make an informed decision.
It's fascinating to me. I had the same experience a little over a year ago now. I started to research reverse mortgages and found it to be very strange right from the beginning. I mean, it's a government program. It's made possible by Congress. It's regulated by HUD, insured by FHA. And yet there was a tremendous amount of negative press talking about how there were nightmares and pitfalls and scams and all kinds of things. And I thought, well, you know, my government does a lot wrong, but they don't create scams for seniors. That's not something they generally do. So I couldn't understand how this had happened. I'm still amazed every day at the kind of coverage that goes on regarding reverse mortgages. Do you have any sense of why is that?
I think part of the problem is the media tends to focus on the negative because that's a bigger news story, I guess. The other issue is that, at least on the academic side, when we do research and we write articles, we read anything that's been researched previously, and we cite that work on our own work. Unfortunately, there's been some work that is not 100% accurate, and people tend to just take it as fact. And I think the public does this the same way when they read articles in a newspaper or they see a news program. The incorrect information just keeps getting recycled over and over again. And when you hear it enough times, you tend to believe, well, that must be the way it is. It's an uphill battle. And I'm telling you, things are much, much better than they used to be. But it's still not where it should be because you're absolutely correct. There are no problems with the product in my mind. I don't care what industry we're talking about. There's always going to be a few people in the industry that are trying to take advantage of people. But in the reverse mortgage industry, the product itself, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. If people understand it, I think there'll be a lot more people who would take advantage of it. If you talk to people who've done a reverse mortgage, I would bet you that 98% or maybe even higher are going to be extremely satisfied with what they've done. I know some of the articles that I've read, like a newspaper article, you know, they talk about how somebody got taken advantage of. And there were a few cases where I was aware of the specific case that they were talking about, and the numbers were completely inaccurate. It wasn't even close to the truth. When I called the newspaper, they pretty much said, well, we can't really take the story back. The attorney general for the state of Nevada put out a consumer advisory about reverse mortgages. When I contacted them and told them almost all of it was inaccurate, they pulled it down off their website, but they never made a statement that, hey, we're sorry, we put out incorrect information. So that's part of the problem. Nobody retracts when they say something wrong.
Yeah. I've ripped apart, frankly, so many of these articles where I pointed out the factual discrepancies. They've been in the New York Times, Forbes magazine, The Washington Post, CNBC. I mean, these are major media outlets. It's shocking that there's coverage going on like that, especially about something such an important topic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, and I've seen some of those stories where the experts that they use really aren't experts. Now, clearly, they don't understand how the product works. So that's kind of disturbing, too. And it's so sad because I've seen how a reverse mortgage can change the senior's life, how it can make their life much more comfortable. And, you know, I think there's kind of a stigma about it. Taking out a reverse mortgage for seniors. A lot of seniors are embarrassed to even talk about it. And they shouldn't be embarrassed. I mean, if they own a home, that's their asset. They could do whatever they want with it. And yet they feel like, oh, boy, if I do that, it's just, it makes me look bad or something. I'm just...
Which is weird. It's weird because if you own a home and have that enough equity in it to use a reverse mortgage, that should be something to be proud of, I would think. I mean, it's not a negative at all.
I've talked to some seniors who could have a significant amount of equity in their home, and it would be a great resource to tap into that equity through a reverse mortgage, but they don't want to do it. But if you ask them, hey, if you had $100,000 sitting in the bank, would you use some of that money to make your life more comfortable? And 9 times out of 10, they'd say absolutely.
Well, listen, I've interviewed a couple of hundred seniors. People that have reverse mortgages are all happy, very happy people.
But absolutely.
But they don't want to tell anybody. You know, they don't want to tell anybody. It's like, yeah, they're happy with it, but they don't want to bring it up. They don't want to tell anybody. And now we have baby boomers reaching 65 at 10,000 people a day. And we have very few people with pension plans. And so this makes it the first generation that's attempting retirement based largely on stock market returns.
That's correct. The problem is when you get close to retirement, if there's a big dip like we experienced in the housing market, for example, you don't have time to recover when you're retirement age. So it doesn't matter if we plan properly. Here's an interesting thing. I just read this a while ago because part of the focus of the article we wrote was to try and educate financial planners a little bit about how reverse mortgages work. And it seemed like this article has gotten a lot of traction. We've heard from a lot of people, and I thought, well, maybe it made a decent impact. And yet, only 7% of financial planners recommend to their client that they should consider a reverse mortgage. That just, I don't understand. There's a disconnect there.
Yeah. Well, I think this. There's this idea that a reverse mortgage is somehow the last resort kind of thing. When I ask people that have gone through the sales process on a reverse mortgage and determined not to go forward, and I ask them why, the vast majority answer by saying, we just don't need it right now. We don't need it, so why do it? And I think that really it's a tool to prevent yourself from needing it. Don't wait until there's a crisis. That's certainly one use for it, but if they used it in advance of needing it, they may not need it.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, there people are becoming more and more creative over the years. I think when it started out, it was a loan of last resort. That's what you did when you were in a pinch and there were no other options. And then people started thinking, hey, why not tap into this resource early and use that money just to plan with? I know that there are some people now who are starting to look at it and go, wow, you know, if I take out a reverse mortgage when I'm 62, which is generally the industry, they don't frown upon somebody doing that, but the common theme is, well, the longer you wait, the better off you are. But why not tap into that? And maybe you could postpone getting your Social Security till you're 70. That may not be the best option for everybody, but clearly that's a use of a reverse mortgage where it's not a last resort. You're using it to increase the Social Security benefit that you're going to get later on.
Sure. I've gone a step further. I looked at the foreclosure numbers and I saw that, you know, we've lost maybe 3 million homes to foreclosure that were owned by 65 and older people. And I thought, well, why is that? I mean, surely we're not, no one's going to imply we had an epidemic of irresponsible seniors. I don't think that's the case. And so when you really look at seniors, they have unique challenges. They're subject to their income going down unexpectedly or expenses going up unexpectedly. They also have, as a group, have equity, and that makes getting their loan modified under these current programs difficult or impossible. It's very difficult to pass the qualifications test if you have equity. So they end up in foreclosure or being forced to sell the home. And I actually started to say, it started because I was talking to a woman who was 66 and still working, making a terrific income, about $175,000 a year. And she asked why I would say she should get a reverse mortgage. And I said, well, because she had refinanced a couple of years ago. And I said, you know, you're 66, so 20 years from now, you'll be 86. And between 66 and 86, anything can happen. And if you had a traditional mortgage and something went badly financially, very quickly you would have a choice. Well, do I start draining my savings to pay this mortgage? Or do I sell the house? Something I don't want to do. Whereas if you had switched that to a reverse mortgage, and I'm talking about continuing to pay it. Now, I'm not saying take money out. If you don't need to take money out, don't take money out. Use it like a regular mortgage. But in the event that something were to happen, you could skip payments for whatever period of time you needed to and not have any derogatory impact on your credit and not have to drain savings and so forth. It just seems like a safer mortgage to have during retirement years.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I've been telling people that for a number of years. I mean, you can pay it if you want, but if you have a month where there's some issue and you can't afford to pay it, well, hey, now you don't have to worry about it.
I was actually on a radio show with a financial planner who we were supposed to be debating this, but he ended up kind of coming over to my side too early. But it was embarrassing. You know, I went all the way down to the station. I had the big debate, and all of a sudden he's agreeing with me. I'm like, why am I here? So he said at one point, the reverse mortgage eats up your equity. I responded kind of tongue in cheek. I said, you know, there's no eating. It doesn't eat. It's not a goldfish. It doesn't eat anything. If you're concerned about interest payments, then make interest only payments.
No, you're absolutely correct. And people, if they understood the product, they'd see there are all kinds of opportunities there. For example, you know, he's talking about it eating up the equity. What about the fact that the line of credit grows? If somebody were to take out a reverse mortgage, well, now they have this line of credit that's just going to keep growing and growing and growing, no matter what happens to the value of their home.
Yeah, can you explain how that works? This is the one point where I don't understand why everyone doesn't have one. It's a line of credit that's available at a relatively low interest rate that grows over time, that does not need to be repaid on any certain schedule. It sounds like something everybody would want.
Yeah, and they can't take it away from you either. They can't change the terms of it. There are people in Las Vegas that I know who did a reverse mortgage several years ago when home values were at their peak. And right now, their line of credit on their home is probably twice as big as the value of their home. So they could tap all that money from that line of credit, even though their home is only worth half that amount. I mean, I would consider that a pretty sweet deal. So, yeah, the line of credit, the way it's set up is that it grows at the same interest rates that's being charged on the loan. So depending on what that interest rate is, that's a pretty significant growth factor. You just have access to more and more money in the future if you don't tap that line of credit.
So if you take out a reverse mortgage today, and let's just say the interest rate's just 4%, then your available funds are going to grow at about a 4% rate year over year.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
That's more than your house may appreciate.
You're absolutely right. Most people that I've ever dealt with got an adjustable rate reverse mortgage. So with that rate adjusting, if the rate goes higher, well, then the line of credit grows faster also. So again, if you were to take out a reverse mortgage, and then your line of credit is growing at whatever rate. I mean, if we have a period of inflation where interest rates get pretty high, your line of credit is going to grow really fast.
That's a hedge against a home appreciation.
Yeah, and it's a hedge against your home going down in value, too. Right. Look at how many people suffered when home values declined. A lot of people lost their home. The people who had done a reverse mortgage and had that line of credit, like I said, some of them, their line of credit's twice as big as the value of their home right now. And when you do the reverse mortgage, that deal is a good deal as long as you're alive and live in that house. So there's $200,000 in there, and your house is only worth $100,000, you can still tap that $200,000. I can't wait to do one.
I know. I'm 53, and I said that in an article a while ago. I went, well, this actually has made me wish I was older. I can't believe I'm saying that, but... it sounds funny, but it's sort of true. I did one for my closest friend as soon as he turned 62. I said, look, you should just set it up now. I don't see the downside of doing it. And as far as these closing costs are concerned, people have always said, well, Martin, you have to, these loans are expensive. I always ask the question back, how much are they compared to the other loan that I don't have to repay?
Well, that's one obvious fact that they should consider. The other thing is they're not that much different from a forward mortgage.
Right.
I know in the past what people tended to do was they would add up costs that didn't really exist. In the past, there was a monthly service fee, and there was something called a service fee set aside, which was just an estimate of how much you would pay in service fees over your life. So that number would be set aside. In other words, they would just reduce the amount of funds that you're going to be available to you. People were considering that a cost, but it wasn't a cost. You would pay that or get added to your loan monthly. If you had the loan for a year, it would amount to, a few hundred dollars. But they would look at it and go, over the life of the loan, it's estimated it's going to be $5,000. They'd add that, consider that part of the closing cost. I think that's kind of one of the factors, anyway, that started people in thinking, oh, man, the closing costs are way out of hand. That's not my experience. They're comparable to if you did a forward mortgage.
Now, I can't even find anyone that charges a servicing fee anymore.
They don't charge them anymore. But, again, once negative information, when it gets out there, it seems like it's there forever.
Yeah. Well, they also talk about the FHA insurance premium, which is just the same as an FHA loan, right?
Yeah, that and... how many loans do you have a guarantee that when the loan comes due, all you have to do is repay whatever the home is worth if you're upside down? I think there are a lot of people that right now, they're still upside down. They would be happy to have that stipulation in their agreement where they could just sell the house and walk away from the loan. They don't have to make up the difference. And, that's a guarantee to your heirs that they don't have to cover that out of your estate. Right. If you have a forward mortgage and you owe $300,000, your house is worth $200,000, and you have other assets in your estate, well, the bank's going to want to get paid for $300,000.
Right.
If you have a reverse mortgage, you sell the house, and that's it.
You can never owe more than the house is worth. In fact, your heirs can buy it for 95% of market value.
That's correct. Yep.
So there's nothing like that. I mean, there's no...
No. I mean, you pay for that insurance, but this is kind of different than a lot of insurances we pay for. You actually get something. I think it's money well spent. And it's a guarantee that you're going to get paid your money, too, no matter what happens to the lender. If they, if they go out of business, they fail, whatever.
The FHA is
the price we pay.
Yeah. And they were talking this year about, because FHA, for the first time, I guess, had this $1.8 billion in projected losses. $1.8 billion in projected losses at FHA. Am I the only person that found that an astonishingly small number? Everyone talked about it like it was this huge amount of losses. We had the biggest meltdown in the housing market in 70 years. $1.8 billion. Fannie Mae, I think we're up to $240 billion in losses. $1.8 billion, it seemed like an unbelievably small number to me. And yet people talked about it like it was almost the end of the world. We had a housing meltdown here. I mean, the fact that there's $1.8 billion in losses is not surprising. It's not because of reverse mortgages, although that's sort of how the press reported it. Again, it's that same kind of thing. It's like we're just going to take whatever is out there and try to make it sound as bad as we can.
That's unfortunate. And there's so many things stated out there that are incorrect. And then there are also things that are stated and they try and put a slant on it like it's the problem of the reverse mortgage. But it's the same issue somebody would have if they had a forward mortgage. Sometimes I read things about seniors having trouble paying their property taxes and insurance, and they make it seem like it's the fault that they took out a reverse mortgage and they spent all that money. Well, if they had a forward mortgage, they still have to pay their property taxes and insurance. I just don't get the connection.
I wrote about this because I was shocked by it. Richard Cordray, who's the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, I don't know that he did it personally, but the headlines that went out across the country were that 10% of reverse mortgages are now in foreclosure. And I felt a little bit like, well, reverse mortgages in foreclosure? There's not even any payments due. How could they be in foreclosure? And I read the articles and they all did the same thing. It was supposedly people that could not pay their property taxes. And I thought, well, if you can't pay your property taxes, then you couldn't pay a mortgage payment in your property taxes. I mean, what does that have to do with a reverse mortgage?
Yep. And that happens quite often. We get that negative slant and it's the fault of the reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the issues that they're talking about, it would be much worse if they had a forward mortgage.
I have this thought that I've been thinking about writing about. I don't think traditional mortgages were made for people in retirement. I think the presumption was that by the time you were retired, you had paid off your mortgage. And so you didn't have this to worry about. But if you're 62 and over and either in retirement or close to retirement, having a traditional mortgage for 20 years, I mean, the odds are overwhelming that there'll be some kind of life event over 65 to 85 that will make it difficult to pay your mortgage or something. I mean, that's going to happen to a lot of people. And then with a traditional mortgage, it's not very forgiving. I mean, if you miss one payment, your credit score goes down, interest rates can go up. You really have a difficult choice. You can start spending down your savings, which is sort of a guarantee you'll run out of money, or sell the house. I mean, there's really nothing you could do. A lot of seniors don't understand that today the lending environment's changed. They think they can go down to the bank and get a home equity line or a second mortgage. And if their income has dropped and so forth, they're not going to qualify for that today. Those loans aren't available.
Mm-hmm.
So there really is nowhere else to turn to use the equity in your house today. A hard money loan, that's a terrible alternative. Have you seen this? U.S. News and World Report did one where they said, here's four alternatives to a reverse mortgage. And one of them is sell the house.
Yeah, like they got to live somewhere. I don't get that solution either.
Well, right. And I got to tell you, I find it kind of obnoxious when I hear this. I've talked to a lot of seniors, a lot of people in retirement. The whole point is they don't want to sell the house. I mean, that's what they're trying to avoid, is selling the house. Then another one is borrow from family.
Yeah.
And then the third one was sell the house to your kids.
That is like the worst idea. And I hear that all the time. Now, I'm telling you that, and I can't believe how many people advise seniors to do that. They have no idea the potential implications. Well, first of all, there's probably not that many kids on average that would be able to buy the house, but let's say they could. Let's suppose my wife and I bought my mom's house. So now we own the house and we tell you can live there as long as you want. Then my wife and I get divorced. What's going to happen then? Or I have a car accident, it was my fault, and I get sued. What's going to happen to the house? Yep. I mean, don't they think about all these potential negative things that could happen if you do something like that?
And the obvious, encouraging intrafamily borrowing. First of all, most seniors don't want to be a burden on their kids. I mean, that's the whole point here. It's like the sell the house thing. It's like the whole point is I don't want to sell the house. I don't want to be a burden on my kids. That's the point. Can you imagine people getting that call? You know, hi, son. Listen, I realize you've got three kids of your own and a mortgage and so forth, but I'm just wondering, would you mind buying our house and letting us live there forever for free? I mean, really? Borrowing from your family just seems like an idea that has potential problems.
It doesn't seem like a very good alternative. You know what else is kind of amazing? People who suggest these alternatives, like selling the house, they complain about the high cost of a reverse mortgage. Well, what's it cost to sell a house? It's probably a lot more expensive than doing the reverse mortgage. Now, the 6% commission or 7% commission you pay to the realtor is going to be far greater than the closing costs on a reverse mortgage. But for some reason, that cost is not too much for them to do that.
I also hear a lot of people that give this kind of advice. You know, they're not seniors. They seem to be, well, there's two kinds. One is there seem to be like sort of very successful sort of talking heads. These people make a couple of $1 million a year and saying, you shouldn't do this, you should sell the house, or you should borrow from the kids. You know, it's really kind of it's sort of obnoxious. Look, walk a mile in someone else's shoes before you start giving out that advice. Or some of the academics, I've got to tell you, some of the academics, they know the mentality. You know, my father never thought it made any sense to pay interest ever. The idea that you would carry a balance on a Visa card was entirely foreign to him. Where in real life, people do carry a balance on a Visa card. They do need to use credit. And it seems like there's a lot of academics that talk about the reverse mortgage and the choices. I don't know. It just seems insulting to me. It's like, these are people that are retiring. They have a certain reality. There's certain situations and bad things happen to good people, or they just want to have access to the credit line in case something happens.
The decision-making process of seniors, I think, is different from the rest of us. You touched on academics. There are a lot of decisions that seniors make, especially like when it comes to reverse mortgage, that don't make a whole lot of sense financially. If we just looked at the numbers, we might say, well, that's not a very good decision. You shouldn't do it. But there are situations that they're involved in where they don't have any other option. And they make decisions for maybe different reasons than we would make them. And we might look at them as not being completely rational, but for them, it's perfectly rational. They're doing what makes them happy, what makes them comfortable. And so who are we to say that it's a bad decision sometimes?
Like the line of credit, for example. If something bad happens, like you bring up, you get divorced or you lose a job or an illness or injury. At that moment, all the best practices of financial planning go out the window. It's like you just need the safety net, and a reverse mortgage would be that safety net.
You're absolutely correct.
I always tell people, if nothing bad has ever happened to you, well, good, but it will. It's life.
And as the population ages and our life expectancy gets longer and longer, the good news is we're going to live longer. The bad news is there's going to be a big period of time where our health isn't going to be so great. You know, medical science is great in that they've found a way to keep us alive longer, but maybe those last few years aren't the best. And with the cost of health care, people need to have access to funds, or they need to plan for it. And unfortunately, too many of us have gotten close to the age of retirement, or we're at that retirement age. And even if we planned well, we may not have enough money to where we don't outlive our assets. So they need to consider all their alternatives. You know, I tell people all the time, the reverse mortgage is not the solution for everybody. But you need to find out the facts about how it works, and then you can make an informed decision. If you don't want to do it, hey, great. But at least find out if it makes any sense at all. And there's so many different ways you can use it. Like you've said, people tended to use it as a loan of last resort probably when it started out. People are getting a lot more creative now in seeing how it could be a benefit to their retirement plan, how they could use it to cushion what might happen in the future. There's just a number of different ways to view it, and everybody needs to look at that and make their decision based on that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, is anybody prepared for retirement? I don't know anyone.
I don't think so. No, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you have invested. It doesn't matter. I'll give you a perfect example. When I was in Las Vegas, I had a client who lived in the most exclusive area in Las Vegas. The guard shack of this place is much nicer than most homes you've probably ever seen in your life. And this guy, he made the bulk of his money in real estate. He had a huge parcel of land that he sold to a casino. So he made quite a bit of money. He was an older gentleman. I believe he was in his mid-70s at the time. And he had some health issues, and he became confined to bed. And what he had done was he took all that money and invested in the stock market, like we talked about earlier. Well, things weren't going so great, and he was going through that money pretty quickly. Now, other than the fact that he was bedridden, his health was pretty decent, but he had to have 24-hour care. The cost of that care is pretty expensive. So he was really at a point where if he didn't do something, he'd end up losing his house and everything and burn through all that money. So, yeah, I don't care how well off you are, how prepared you think you are. None of us know what's going to happen. All it takes is a couple catastrophic events, and all of a sudden we're upside down. And the average person doesn't have that kind of wealth that this guy had. Probably most of us are not even going to come close to having what we might need to eke out just a standard of living that we consider okay. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to retire and just exist. I mean, I thought the plan was you work all your life, you retire, you get to enjoy retirement. Well, to me, enjoying retirement is not just having enough money to pay my bills and eat. I want to be able to do some things.
Right. And that speaks to why take it out earlier rather than later. You talk to people that are 65 and 70, and you have years now, you're more active now than you're going to be in later years. So if you want to do something, do it now. I mean, what are you waiting for? You're 85? You know, this is it. Life is not a dress rehearsal.
Personally, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, whether you should take it early or whether you should wait. But the right answer is find out whether it makes sense to take it at all for you. And look at all the different alternatives and the options, because a lot of people that would think, oh, it's better off for me to wait, they may find out that, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe they should do it right now.
Is there something about interest rates? Is there a reason to do it now? Interest rates are low.
Well, that's, yeah. In terms of interest rates, now's a great time. In terms of home values, maybe, you know, who knows? I mean, the home values took a huge hit. They're starting to come back. We would expect that they're probably going to continue rising. So depending on how fast they're rising in your area, maybe it's better to wait a little while. There's three things that determine what you're going to get. You know, your age, value of your house, and interest rates. I used to tell people, well, you're going to get older. And I used to tell them the value of your house is going to go up, but we don't know about interest rates. Well, really now, I can't even say that. You're going to get older. I don't know what's going to happen to the value of your house, and I don't know what's going to happen with interest rates. You could wait a year, value of your house could go up. You're a year older, you'd think, oh, I'm going to get more money. But then interest rates went up and you end up with less money. There's no formula. You have to just pull the trigger when it makes sense, when you feel comfortable doing it.
But then, of course, there's a hedge. Then your line of credit goes up with the rates.
Well, that's true. That's the other side of the coin. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, is that people don't think about, or maybe they're not aware of, the reverse mortgage is like just like a forward mortgage, where you could do anything you can do with the forward mortgage. You could sell your house. You could refinance your reverse mortgage. If you wanted to, you could refinance it back to a forward mortgage, or you could refinance it into another reverse mortgage. When home values were going through the roof back in the mid-2000s, places like Las Vegas where they were going up, I mean, ridiculous amounts, I know of people who did three reverse mortgages within a period of about 2 or 3 years, because the value of their house increased so much, it made the amount that they're eligible for so much more that it was worthwhile for them to refinance and generate a higher income. So that's the other opportunity. If home values are moving up, because a lot of people, they'll say, well, I want to wait to do it because I'm pretty sure the value of my house is going to go up. Well, if it goes up enough to where it really makes a difference, then it would be worthwhile for you to refinance. I think that's something that people don't consider.
Right.
And what you said earlier, well, the fact that is if interest rates go up, well, if you did it earlier, the advantage is you get that growth in the line of credit.
So. Right, right. And see, people talk about, you know, I don't need it now. You can always open this as a line of credit and let the line of credit grow. And if you never need it, well, then terrific.
You know, you're right again. To me, it would be like saying, I don't need to invest money now for my retirement because I don't need it now. Well, I think why not start putting it away for when I do need it? Same with the reverse mortgage. Maybe you don't need it now, but if it's there when you do need it, well, now you've got it taken care of.
Right. And, you know, we've got, I think I read the stat was about 10 or 11 million seniors now that have mortgage balances. And if they, I know it'll never happen, but if you could get the message to those people and they all switch to a reverse mortgage where it made sense to do so, they all switched, we wouldn't have any more foreclosures in this group. It would prevent that from happening.
Well, and some of them don't understand the way a reverse mortgage works. And even when you try and explain it to them, they have a little bit of difficulty because they view a reverse mortgage, I think, first as something to supplement their income. They have trouble, and I don't know why, because it's a simple concept in my mind, but they have trouble understanding that if they have a $1,200 a month mortgage and you do a reverse mortgage and now you don't have to make that payment, that's $1,200 additional income. A lot of married couples, too, they don't realize what's going to happen when one spouse passes away. They don't even consider that most of their expenses are going to stay relatively the same. If they have a mortgage payment, that's not going to get cut in half. The utility bill isn't going to change significantly. Any credit card payments are going to be the same. Things on the margin are going to change. You know, the amount of money you spend on groceries, some of the other things is going to go down. But what's going to go down is your retirement income, and sometimes quite significantly when one person passes away. When my dad passed away, the amount my mom gets is probably about maybe 60% of what they were getting together. If she didn't have a reverse mortgage, she would not be living in that house. She would not be able to do the things that she does. And she lives a pretty comfortable retirement. She gets to go out to lunch with her friends and play bingo as much as she wants. And that wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have done the reverse mortgage. And again, the timing issue, now we never know, but if they wouldn't have done it when they did it, she wouldn't have been able to do it because home values took a huge decline in Las Vegas shortly after they did it. They were lucky that they just happened to hit it at the top of the cycle and their home is worth more than it's ever been worth.
Do you think it's the industry? I mean, it seems to me that the industry marketed the product a certain way. They targeted the lowest income group of seniors and said, if you need money, come here. You know, the only people that show up are people that need money now. And so that's how people view the product. It's not the product itself. It's just that's how it's marketed. You think it's that?
That might be part of the problem. It's a relatively new industry, even though reverse mortgages have been around for quite a while. And I think as we've gone through this cycle from when it was booming, you know, the companies couldn't do anything wrong. There were more than enough people wanting reverse mortgages that they thought, well, we're doing it the right way. Well, now everything's kind of different, and they're starting to realize that, and I think they're making efforts to change the way it's viewed, but I don't know if it's been that successful yet.
The campaign is the new reverse mortgage, which I was sort of speechless when I saw it come out. I thought, wow, that's almost insulting. That's it? The new reverse mortgage?
Well, yeah, and I know from experience that there are a lot of people in the industry that are originating loans that probably do not understand the product as well as they should. And that's an issue, too, because if they start giving incorrect information, that just makes things worse. And I'm not sure what kind of training program some of these people have. It's not as complicated a product as everybody likes to make us believe.
Right.
But it's different. You can't think the same way you do about a forward mortgage. When you go to talk to a senior about a reverse mortgage, it's not the same way as a loan originator who'd be talking to a younger couple about a forward mortgage. You know, you just got to be crystal clear how it works so they understand. I really think once people understand how it works, most of them are going to be on board. They're not all going to do it, but they're going to go, okay, I get it now.
Right. It seems to me everybody I talk to that we have any kind of in-depth discussion ends up loving the product. But I think that the sales process in the industry has been, you know, like any business. I mean, you take the path of least resistance. So if your advertising performs better when you advertise a certain way, that's what you do. And if the sales works a certain way, that's what you do. It may not be the ideal, but it's the most cost effective. So that's kind of how it seems like it was built.
Go with I think you're right. Yeah, I know there's a big effort to try and kind of change the perception. And, you know, they're always trying to find a way to get accurate information out there. And that's kind of what I keep thinking about all the time. And I'm not sure what the solution is. If I could get in front of 1,000 seniors and explain to them how it works and answer all their questions, I'm pretty confident 900 of them would walk out of there understanding how it works. Whether or not they do it, I don't know.
I don't actually care who does what you do. I don't care. I just don't want people not to do something because of something that isn't even true.
You're right. And I'm the same way. I don't care if they do it or not. I want the accurate information out there. But I think the industry, in their effort to, you know, get the knowledge out there, there's always going to be that little bit of a focus about getting the business. You know, they don't want to just send the message. They want to send the message and get a result of people coming to do reverse mortgages. So their message may be slanted just enough, and they may not even realize they're doing it. They think they're providing the whole story, but I'm sure they would never do a seminar and stand up in the seminar, give all the facts, and then say, you know, I don't care if you do this or not, and not for everybody. Exactly.
Yeah, take...
They want to close the deal.
Yeah.
And I think any kind of high-pressure tactics in this market is the wrong way to go.
Yeah, awful.
This is an education process. If you educate people and let them make the decision, you know, on their own time, then I think things will start to change. You know, I almost think you have to be exclusive to doing reverse mortgages. You can't switch back and forth, and you can't use the same tactics.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think part of the problem is that it doesn't fit in a soundbite. It's one of those things where if it doesn't fit in 30 seconds, then we can't explain it to anyone. And, you know, I talk to seniors sometimes for 2 hours about this, and people have said to me, they go, well, Martin, you spend far too much time on the phone with these people. It's like, well, okay. I mean, I had questions. They want to talk about something. It's not something I think that should be explained in 30 seconds. It's not a weight loss plan. It's a serious subject. So it needs
You're correct.
That.
And I think seniors are, they're a lot more thoughtful and analytical than people may give them credit for.
Right. Yeah, I know. I hate hearing when the younger people talk about it and they go, well, you know, seniors forget to pay their property taxes. It's like, which seniors are we talking about here? Because my father passed away last year at 82. You know, I mean, I guarantee you he never forgot to pay his property taxes. Seniors are very sharp people. They're very smart. I don't know that they sort of depict them in some of these things like they're infants or something, incapable of taking care of themselves. They've taken care of themselves for a long time. Just seems a little bit insulting again.
In my experience, they're the opposite. My mom had some health issues a year ago, so I set everything up so that I could pay her bills from Wisconsin, even though she's in Las Vegas. My wife has it set up. Almost everything's online, automatic payments or whatever. But, yeah, you know, some things like your property taxes, we have to pay. Well, I don't know how many times she'll call us way before it's due, making sure that we've paid it or we're going to pay it, or they'll forget.
Right.
They're obsessive about it.
Right, right. Like, it's right. It's the same people that say that they give this idea that seniors are going to borrow this money and then blow it in Vegas at the roulette wheel. And it's like, are we talking about the same senior? Which seniors do you know? Every senior I've ever talked to is really terribly concerned about running out of money and very frugal. I haven't met any spendthrift seniors.
I haven't either. But you know what? On the other hand, if they want to go to Vegas, if they want to take a cruise, I think that's their right to do whatever they want with that money. And there are a lot of people outside looking in who think they should dictate how things are done, think that's a bad thing. They shouldn't be wasting their money like that. They should save it for a crisis. Well, yeah, they need to have something set aside for a crisis. But when my mom and dad did their reverse mortgage, my dad was terminal, and we knew he only had so much time. They actually told him he had 6 months, and he lived 6 years after that. And most of that time in fairly good health. They took a couple trips. They did some things that they wouldn't have been able to do. And my mom cherishes those things now. She looks at the pictures, and I'll tell you, the best thing the reverse mortgage did for her was it created some memories. And that's priceless, if you ask me.
I'm so glad you said that. I actually wrote a whole article I will send you about this. The title of it was It Worth It? To me, it was.
And exactly.
The memories are invaluable. They're priceless.
You're
as
correct.
You say. I've asked seniors, you know, if you had $100,000 that you could spend to not have it negatively change your life, what would you do? Would you take the grandkids on $10,000 vacations? Because those might be more valuable to you and to your grandkids than anything else you could do. If you want to do that, do it. If you want to ride an elephant in Mumbai, do that too. I'm in favor of people doing the things they want to do. I don't see that as being irresponsible. And then, of course, you get some of the heirs that are like, well, you're spending your children's inheritance, which I just hate hearing. Every time I hear it, I cringe. You know.
I know. Who decided that kids are entitled to inheriting anything? I mean, I told my parents, if things work out perfectly, you'll spend your last dime right before you pass away.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You don't owe us anything. You raised us. You did what you were supposed to do and beyond. You don't owe us anything. You know, what you owe us is to enjoy your retirement, make things as comfortable as you possibly can. That's what they owe us. If somebody has their heart set on leaving an inheritance, why wait till you die to leave it? I mean, you could do a reverse mortgage and do some of those things now. If my plan was to make sure I left my kids something, I think I'd do a reverse mortgage, and I'd rather hand them the money right now so I could see the look on their face and watch them enjoy it. Why do you have to wait till you pass away?
Every time I hear the inheritance thing, I cringe. When you hear it from younger people, it's just, oh, God, really? That's just, you know, how about get a job, buy your own house? That occurs to me. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's your house. Why even have a house if it's not going to help you in retirement?
You're correct.
Well, very good. I'm actually working on a book idea called the Reverse Mortgage, The Missing Manual. I'll send you an outline. Maybe you want to write a chapter or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The last thing I'll ask, when you say that it's not right for everybody, and I kind of think, well, okay, it's not right for Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Oprah. I mean, who else is it? Is there anybody else that you would say it's just not right for?
Yeah, you know, when I think about that, it is right for everybody. It may not be something everybody wants to do, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I don't care who you are.
I suppose you could argue that as somebody with more money you could possibly spend your entire lifetime, it's irrelevant because who cares? I have $1 billion. But, you know, for everybody else, I don't see anybody it's not right for to have a line of credit. I don't understand why, at the minimum, that's not right for anybody.
No, I agree with you 100%. If their plan is to stay in the home, that's the only thing that people should look at. If they don't plan to stay in the house for a reasonable length of time, it probably doesn't make sense to do it at that point in time. But if you plan on staying in the house for a long period of time, who cares how much interest accumulates? You're not going to pay the loan back. And I think a lot of the people who've moved forward, that's exactly the way they viewed it. All they want to know is, how is this going to make my life better right now and better in the future?
And if you're really worried about interest, then make interest-only payments if that's really the concern. Every time I tell someone that, they go, can we do that? Of course.
There's a solution to, you know, every comment like that that people come up with.
I've decided I'm launching reversemortgageintelligence.com, and it's going to be the anti-soundbite place to go for kind of intelligent discussion about this. I think that there needs to be something out there that really has more in-depth coverage of this, more objective coverage, more balanced. every time I say it's right for everybody, somebody goes, well, not everyone, you know, like as if there's some class of people out there that this shouldn't apply to. It really could be right for everybody. It would certainly stop, you know, people that are worried about leaving the house to the kids. You're not going to leave the house to the kids if you end up in foreclosure or you end up forced to sell the house. So
you're right.
It's really a way of protecting that asset.
And maybe you ought to change it instead of saying it's right for everybody. Tell them it's not wrong for anybody.
Right. That's right. I think that's a good way of putting it. It's not wrong for anybody. Assuming you're not a billionaire, it's not wrong for everybody. I get distressed at the negative press because I hate to sound overly dramatic about this, but I would hate to be 95 years old and having someone come in and saying, gee, you know, I should have explained this better, but you could have had an extra $300,000 in your life the last 10 or 15 years. It's like, what?
Exactly.
Really? Or the reverse mortgage for purchase program where you can actually buy a house, put half down and use a reverse mortgage for the other half. If I did that and no one told me about it, the realtor didn't tell me, nobody told me, and then I found out about it, I would be angry at that.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of that going around because if you went to a bank and, like you said, you're older and you're looking at buying a home, I mean, it doesn't even make sense for you to take out a 30-year mortgage. But I would bet that very few of them are going to say, hey, have you thought of doing a reverse mortgage for purchase? Because if they're not doing the loan, they don't want to send that business somewhere else.
Oh.
And it's kind of odd to me that we require seniors to get counseling to do a reverse mortgage. Why not have the same requirement for a forward mortgage? Then somebody can provide the alternatives to them and say, hey, have you thought about a reverse mortgage? We have the requirement for reverse mortgages so we can tell them alternatives so they don't do the reverse mortgage. That just doesn't seem right.
That's one of the most interesting points I've heard. At 65, I can get a traditional mortgage with no counseling. No one is going to tell me, by the way, you have an alternative. You could use a reverse mortgage for purchase to finance this home. They're not going to tell me that. They want to do the loan. But if I'm going to get a reverse mortgage, I go through counseling where someone says, well, you could do a traditional mortgage.
Yeah, or these other options, which I don't even know what they tell them, but they provide them with options, that's for sure.
Well, there really aren't. That's why I said the options are sell the house, borrow from the kid. I mean, you know, it's silly.
Yeah, exactly.
That is really an interesting thing. I mean, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And a traditional mortgage, in my mind, by the way, is not an alternative. To say that a traditional mortgage is an alternative to a reverse mortgage is really reaching. It's not.
They're taking advantage of seniors by not disclosing that they maybe should be doing a reverse mortgage. I remember talking to a client once who was considering a reverse mortgage, and they claimed it wasn't enough money. They could get more by refinancing their home or taking out a home equity line of credit. And I said, well, explain to me how that's going to work for you, because based on your income, first of all, I don't know if you qualify or not, but let's assume you do. How are you going to make the payments?
Right.
And their logic was, well, I'll just use the money from the line of credit to make the payments. And I'm thinking, wow, you're going to borrow money and use the money you borrowed to pay back the money you borrowed.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, today, I don't think that's possible. Today, there's no more asset-based lending. Now it's income requirements, ability to repay rules, and so forth.
Yep.
I don't think they'll get the loan. A lot of people don't know that and are going to find out the hard way when they go try to do it that's not available. And now there's not a lot of alternatives there.
You are correct. And, you know, one thing people should be aware of with the reverse mortgage is you can't just run into a bank and boom, you got the money in a couple of days.
Right.
It's a slow process. I mean, right now, in a lot of areas, it may take 2-3 weeks just to get the counseling done. And until you get the counseling done, you can't move forward.
Right.
And then let's assume that the loan processes quickly. So you're still talking probably another month, maybe even longer if there are any issues along the way. So if you have an emergency,
right,
that might not work.
Look, I think that's the worst advice that I've ever heard a mortgage person give having to do with a reverse mortgage was wait until there's a crisis. Wait until there's this pressing need. I responded right away. I said, you know, I think that's just horrible advice for any senior, for any reason. Waiting until there's a crisis to do anything is a bad idea. As I've watched my mother-in-law, as I've watched her get older, that is not the time for her to be looking for any kind of loan of anything. Doing something when you're under that kind of stress, it's like saying, you know, don't find out where the hospital is in your neighborhood until you need the hospital. I mean, that's just crazy. Don't wait until there's a crisis to do anything, because that's how, I think that's how people get ripped off or how they make bad decisions and all those things happen.
Yeah, you're right. You don't have time to give your decision any thought. You have to make a decision right away. You can't mull it over for a little while.
Right. If you wake up in the hospital one day because you had a heart attack, that's not the time to go, oh, can we look for a reverse mortgage? I mean, come on. That's horrible advice.
You're correct.
So there's too much of that. Hopefully we could do something about it one at a time. It's the way it has to be. I mean, that's how it has to be. But your articles like yours, I think, are getting somewhere. Your article was Retirement Trends, Current Monetary Policy, and the Reverse Mortgage Market. I'll certainly have it on my site, but you did have it an impact. It's been circulated everywhere. All the different reverse mortgage people bring it out right away. They draw it like a gun. Here, look at this.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I like to hear that. And, you know, I'm going to work on other pieces. Hopefully we can get some more accurate information out there and gradually change things.
Well, you're certainly welcome as a guest blogger on Reverse Mortgage Intelligence anytime. And I'll certainly post your articles and things and help get them out there to tens of thousands of people. So
I appreciate that, Martin. It was fun talking with you.
Very good, David. Thank you very much for your time. We'll talk soon.
You betcha.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Well, that's the end of part one. That's Dr. David Johnson, professor of finance at the University of Wisconsin, talking all about reverse mortgages. That guy's an expert in reverse mortgages. He's studied them academically, he's published papers and countless articles about them, and he agrees with me. What do you know? Reverse mortgages, it's an idea that is just not well understood, but it's certainly one whose time has come. And we're going to keep going into it in part two with Dr. Zamira Simpkins. She is a professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin, and she co-authored the paper with Professor Johnson on reverse mortgages that we were just talking about. Well, look, I hope you found that interesting. I hope you found it valuable. I certainly did. It really shows you that this is something that everybody over 62, and if your parents are of that age or older, you need to become more familiar with. What you're thinking about it probably isn't right. You're missing pieces of this that you haven't really thought out or don't really understand. It's not your fault. The industry does a terrible job. The media is the worst coverage of any subject I've ever seen. So you really need to know more. And I'm here to help. ReverseMortgageIntelligence.com. Coming up a couple of weeks. You'll be able to get a lot of information there. You can always email me at Mandelman, M-A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N, at Mac, M-A-C.com. Mandelman at Mac.com. You have questions? You want to discuss something? Even if you want to tell me I'm wrong and you think I'm missing something. Mandelman at Mac.com. Let's have the debate. It's my favorite subject. The reverse mortgage and how it can really transform retirement years for tens of millions of people. All right, come back for part two and find out what Dr. Simpkins, professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin, has to say about her experience with reverse mortgages. Until then, this is Martin Andelman from Mandelman Matters, and this has been a Mandelman Matters podcast. Thanks for listening.
This episode is complete. Stay tuned for more updates on all the political, social, and economic and legal aspects of the financial crisis. Complicated subjects made easy to understand at MandelmanMatters.com.